they were looking forward to this opportunity to share the word of God from you. I was a pastor a long time, but it's been a long time ago. And once in a while, I get to warm it up. I look forward to those times. Let us start with a word of prayer. Lord, what a joy it is to be able to be here to worship in this, your house. To worship with this congregation and with all the guests who are here. To just lift up your Son. To hold on to the blessing that he gives us every day. This is the beginning of the time of Lent. Time of looking inward, a time of asking and thanking you for all of the things you do in our lives. We ask you to bless us now as we share some words that I hope come from you. Let us hear your voice in Jesus' name. Kokomo, Indiana, small town about 50 miles north of Indianapolis. The town that I used to live in when I was a child, from about last half of first grade through sixth grade. I have many wonderful memories of those years. It's summertime, 1948. It was the year that Harry Truman won the U.S. presidency over Joseph Dewey, who was so favored to win that the papers already had it published and ready to hand out on the morning after the election, and they were wrong. I mentioned that because it is such an amazing thing. I mentioned it because we had a chance to see President Truman in the town there campaigning from the rear of a train. And the train went right down the middle of the biggest street in the town, Buckeye Street. Strange place, strange things. But it was also memorable in my mind. The Hetzels, Mom, Pop, Valerie, Carol, Daryl, and Norm, lived on Taylor Street. It was a very neat neighborhood. The grade school was just a half a block and across the street. I had good friends that lived within about four houses of where we lived. David Hartwell and I used to explore all the place as far as they let us walk. It was a joyous thing. Behind our house was a garage, and it was separate from the house, and it had a little door in the front of it, and then it had the major door in the back, and it opened up in back on an alley. The alley ran one way up to where David Harpold's house was. The other way, it ran to a place that was interesting. It was right behind the pastor of our church's house. So we used to enjoy playing in that alley. And sometimes we went up and sat on the pastor's wall, just because it was a good place to sit and just talk together and do all things that boys do. So anyway, that's where we started. It was Sunday morning. Our family went to church and we came home. And always there was a time after that when my parents and two older sisters would get the dinner on the table. Well, my brother Norm and I just were kind of wandering around. He was five and I was seven. And we just were in the backyard. And we looked around and, we found that. Just an empty can. And some newspapers. We stuck them in the can. And we were sitting in the garage in that little door in the front. And we found a match.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there enjoying our campfire. When who should enter, come from the house, but my sister Val. She was like a second mother. And when she looked at us and saw what was, I'll tell you, I still remember the look on her face. And she turned around and she ran into the house. Well, Norm and I ran the other way. And you guessed it, we wound up on God's wall, the pastor's wall. So now we're sitting on that wall and we're saying, why did we do that? Whose idea was it? What are we going to do? We're going to have to go home. But what's going to happen? We're in trouble. Oh, gosh, help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Where are you? Finally, we decided we better go home because we're getting hungry. Well, we walked through the door. Beautiful. Well, they were just ready to sit down at the table, and they just said nothing to us. And we sat down at the table, and we started eating. Norm and I looked at each other. We're not sure what's going to happen next. So we had dinner. Everything went fine. And then my father says to us, boys, I need to see you in the back room. He held up this pen. Was burned, looked awful. He says, I found this in the garage. What have you got to say about it? Well, I looked at Norm, and Norm looked at me, and since I was the oldest one, I had to say something. Pop said, what should he do? I said, probably you have to give him a spanking. He thought that was a good idea. So I went first. He put me over his knee and he used his right arm very well on the back of my pants. Three blows, I remember. They were really good, solid ones. As I remember it, that's the only time my father ever spanked me. My mother did, but that was the only time he did. And I ran off into the bedroom to soothe my hurt. And then Norm came after going through the same treatment. And we hid under our bed until we kind of cooled off. But the good news is my father came, sat down with us, hugged us, kissed us, said how much he loved us, and all was well. Nice story. I want to tell you another story. It's in your Bible. It's not a nice story. I invite you to consider with me the life of King David as it is presented in the Bible, principally in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. A little bit in the Chronicles as well. Who was David? Well, he was a shepherd of the sheep. He came from a great family. He had eight brothers and sisters. Well, brothers, we don't know about sisters. There were plenty of brothers. And then there was David. And David was the smallest. And what he did is he took care of sheep. That was his job. So he kind of lived off where the sheep were. And when he came in, he kind of didn't smell very much. So that's who he was. But the prophet Samuel came to the family. And the Lord had commanded him to anoint the person that the Lord would identify. Well, you know what they did? And the dad says, well, here's our oldest and tallest young man, and he must be the guy. Nope, says Jesse. Nope. Not the right one. They went to the second one. They went to the third one. Fourth, fifth. And finally, person that had come said, don't you have any more sons? And Jesse just kind of was chagrined because he knew one more. And he knew it when he come in, he would stink. And there was just no possibility he could be the one. Go get it. So he came. And God said, that's the one. He was filled immediately by the Spirit of the Lord. David was an amazing person. The army of King Saul was in trouble. They were fighting with the Philistines. They kind of did that every year, just for fun, because the Philistines, were always giving them trouble. So he was there. And the Philistines had an ace. There was this giant by the name of Goliath. And he was huge, like 10 feet tall. And he had a big sword. And he had all kinds of... He was furious. Who would want to challenge him? And King Saul's soldiers were all afraid. They didn't want to touch this. But then David comes. He puts a little stone in his sling. He goes, like that. And there was one dead Goliath lying on the ground. He became a strong leader of soldiers. And in other ways. Of many great victories. King Saul loved David for a while. And then he was afraid of David, because David was killing more of the enemy than King Saul was. And it got to be a pretty tough situation. Throughout the stories of David, he is always a man of principle, a man of valor. Yes, he killed a lot of enemies, but he never did anything that God didn't say to. God promised David, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. David is a man after God's own heart. Your throne will be established forever. Should we stop the story here? It would be nice, but that's not how it goes. Now, King David. his in midlife. His army is off the battle, and he's not with them. So he's kind of sitting by himself. He's got 10 wives. But you have to understand, wives were prizes of victory. They would come from the enemy's bunch of people. And if you won, you get another wife. And so they had a place for all the wives to live and had somebody to take care of. That's how it was. But I say that to point out that there may not be very much love between this David and his wives. But he's sitting now, and he's at home alone. It's getting dusk. And he's just, I don't know how you can be like that. But he happened to look out his window. Guess what he saw? There was this gorgeous girl down there. And she was taking a bath. And you know, things happen when we least expect it. He saw her. And it was, I have to have her now. I'm glad we don't have any children here, because they might not understand. So he sent somebody to find out who she was. Yeah, he found out what her name was. And he sent for her. And he did his thing. Well, nobody said anything. Her husband was off fighting with the enemy. Until he found out something. He found out that she was pregnant. How could he get out of this thing? She's pregnant. It's clear it happened because of him. And it was crying for him to do what he did. How do I get out of this thing? So he says, he's now on God's wall. Now, you have Norm and I were on the wall. He's on that wall. He's saying, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I got this great reputation, and I've just done something to destroy it. What am I going to do? And finally, he decides, and he sends for for Uriah, who was the husband. He wanted to get Uriah to go in and see Bathsheba overnight. And if that would happen, then he'd be all right, because he's off the hook. But Uriah was a very committed soldier, and he refused to go home. He slept on the ground overnight rather than go home, because his buddies were all off fighting for the country. And he's here. And that happened a second time. And then David decides, well, I'm going to have to do something else. So he wrote a note to the head guy in the army and put it in an envelope, sealed it, and gave it to Uriah and told Uriah to give that note to his leader. And what the note said is, put this guy up front and make sure he dies. And that's what he did. So now, he's got a pregnant wife. And a son is born. celebrate. And then the prophet Jesse comes and says, "You've done something wrong." Tell a little story. In all at once, King David knows he's had it. And he's just grieved. He falls on the ground and prays and prays. And the baby's born, and the baby dies. He is told by the prophet, that's going to happen. In the end, he is told that he's still loved by God. He's justified by God. He will go forward with some real limitations. But that's what happened. That's the story. I tell that story, and I think about how it is in my own life. Are there times, are there places when I've done something that separated me from where God would have me? When the answer to that is yes. I can think of some times when I was pastoring a church. I should have done something, I didn't do it. The result was somebody got hurt. Somebody left the church. And it was because of that. And I can't do anything about that. Maybe there are things like that in your life. Things that happened to you. Things that were hurtful. And you can carry them around in your heart, sometimes dreaming about it, trying to forget it. Perhaps there are some of those things. This is the beginning of Lent. It is a time for looking inward and for praying, for sharing with the Lord what you see, for asking for the Lord to make your life better, to make you a more holy person. I lift up that to you. It's something only you can do. But I ask you, take some time. Think about your life. Think about things that bother you. Lift them up to the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord will take care of them. We're not going to sing that last hymn. You're going to hear a song that was written by a friend of mine. And he plays it on his guitar. It's a different kind of music for you. But if you will listen carefully to this song, it will help you begin to get in touch with whatever it is on your heart. So, let us hear. And if it goes, it'll work.
I'm turned far from your right.
That's Chris Cowell, Carol. We've been friends for about a year. I was teaching him, and I found out he was teaching me. And I'm learning more than he is. But I thank you, Lord, for that. Let us pray, and we'll also give them a gift for me. Lord, we give you thanks for your Son. We thank you, Lord, that whatever it is that troubles us, you send it to help us. If our hearts are heavy, Lord, if we are disturbed by things in our life, come to us. Send your Spirit. Free us from those things. Guide us into the path you would have us walk. Fill us with that Spirit. We give you thanks, praise, and glory. And now we ask your blessing upon the sharing that is happening in that other room. Bless the food to our use, us to your service.